Today on Real Radio.
He's got an army to answer us. And he's bearing up. He's waiting. And we're going, it's so terrible. Life's so hard. I don't know what to do. I'm panicking. I'm freaking out. Oh my gosh, all this trouble. My child, this and that. And Jesus is saying, all right now, anytime now. Hey, church, you know the answer to this. We have not because we ask not. He's saying, come on and ask. Remember that old song? We said it last time. We'll say it again. That, oh, what needless things we bear because we fail to take it to God in prayer. He wants us to cry out to him.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of Luke. We're actually in a mini-series on prayer. It's taken from the first 8 verses of Luke chapter 18. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in this series within a series called Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It.
How violently, earnestly, intentionally are we going to God in prayer? Do we tiptoe into the presence of God and kind of cower around and pray, maybe hoping, maybe kinda? God doesn't want that kind of stuff. He wants you to come boldly. I'm not talking about in a rude way, reverently, in a holy way, yes, but didn't Jesus say, when you pray, pray our what?
Father.
Have you ever seen how kids are with their fathers? Kids take a flying leap and jump right in their lap and they say, Daddy, I want an ice cream cone and I want it now. I'm not saying that in our prayers we tell God what to do. In fact, in our prayers, as we pray, our hearts are molded into the will of God and then we know what to do. Big difference. We go to pray. So James says, watch out that you're not doubting. Meaning, if you go to pray and you don't think, listen, church, if you don't think God's going to answer your prayer, God says, I'm probably not going to answer it then. Because if I took the time to answer it and the answer showed up, you wouldn't think that I answered you. So why should I answer the prayer that you don't think I'm going to answer? You're not going to get it. You won't get it. So here we go, picking it up, verses 7 and 8. That's all you've got today, class, is verses 7 and 8. Still probably go over. Don't just stand there, pray about it. Third and final point, Christian, your God is wanting to protect you. Verses 7 and 8, that's what we get. The widow's powerless. She's unprotected. She's alone, but that's not our case. Our situation's completely opposite than hers. Look at verse 7. So listen for his voice when you call to him, when you pray. Do we even know what that's like? Jesus said, and shall not God avenge his own elect? That's you, the believer, who cry out to him day and night, to him though he bears long with them. Better than any parent ever in human history, the Lord is on guard and he's watching out for his children. He wants to answer our prayer. But listen, we have got to listen for his voice. God speaks. I'll tell you how in a moment. Psalm 46, verse 1. Mark it down. Great verse. Psalm 46, 1 to 3. Our God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Don't raise your hand, but you're in trouble. You got trouble. You got marriage trouble. You got financial trouble. You got health trouble. You got court trouble. Whatever trouble you've got, listen, commit that verse to memory. Psalm 46, 1. Our God is a refuge, a strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth, insert my job, be removed, and though the mountains, insert your house, be carried into the midst of the sea. Verse 3, though the waters roar, or the bills stack up and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, or meaning whatever has been normal in my life. I don't know about you, but there's in our day-to-day life, can't you agree maybe with this? If you are going to look for a stability of surety, in fact, there used to be an insurance company or investment group. I forget who it is now. Doesn't matter. They're probably out of business. There was the Rock of Gibraltar, mutual somebody maybe, I don't know. There was the Rock. In fact, that's the commercial. They used to say, you can build your hope on the Rock. Hello, who's the Rock? Jesus. But anyway, they would say, we're the Rock, build your hope on the Rock. Mountains, look at the mountains. Just 45 minutes from here, you can be up 8,000 feet. There's nothing in our visual scope that's more formidable and sure than a mountain. And yet the Bible says there's going to come a day when the mountains will actually come down and they'll appear to melt like wax. Wow. The Bible says God is a refuge for you and I. He's our strength in the midst of everything that's going on. And if you don't get this message under your heart, then listen, you will go the way of the world. With all the troubles that are coming, divorce temptation will enter your mind. Going back to your old life. You know what? I can't cope anymore. I've lost my job. I've lost my kids. I've lost this or that or the other. I'm going to go back to my what? What are you going to go back to? To the altar of Jim Beam? Is that where you're going to go to? You're going to go back to the altar of Jack Daniels or Budweiser? It's funny. Everybody who takes or ingests Bud does not get any wiser. They should have named it Bud Dumber. Huh? But think about it. You say, Jack, you know what? I don't like what you're saying. Listen, deal with it. Here's the deal. It's true. What are you leaning on? Yeah, that's right. You Christians, Jesus is your big crutch. Amen. Amen. Yeah, he's crutch enough. He's a big crutch. In fact, I get to ride on the handle of the crutch. I don't even have to hold the crutch. I get to ride on it, hang on to it. He is my crutch. He's my hospital. He's my therapy. He's my rehab. He's everything. But what do you have? These days that are coming, what sure foundation do you have? God wants to be that foundation. Verse 7 says, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Jesus is speaking and saying this. The word avenge means, will he not make restitution for you? Will he not rush in? The word means to rush in and bring relief. Isn't that great? Are you in trouble right now? Is trouble looming? Jesus said, call to me, pray, and God will rush in with relief. Now here's the thing. You and I were so funny because we want to define what the relief should look like. Listen, honey, did you hear what Pastor Jack said in that verse? That's an awesome verse. Verse 7, I'm going to claim that verse because relief is coming, and I think it should be in the way of a Porsche. That's not relief, that's a headache. You can't go around and define to the loving God who loves you more than you do what the answer should be like. You've got to be open and willing to receive the answer he gives, because let me tell you something right now. Though you may wake up and go to sleep or daydream, all the stuff that you and I do, he never forgets you. He never stops thinking the best for you. The Bible says, if I were to collect all his thoughts toward me, and they are good, Jeremiah 29:11 says, they would be too many to number. Go find that somewhere else, but God alone. And then verse 7 says, though he bears long with them. You say, Jack, I read that verse ahead. I read that last time we were together, and that verse tells me that he's just going to hold off and just, he's going to bear for a long time before he answers me. That's not what it means. Are you ready for this? It's perfect. It's awesome. It goes perfect. Of course it goes perfectly in line with the study because it's biblical, and this is what he's meaning here. He's saying that I want to answer you speedily. But here's the problem. God is saying, I got the answers. Imagine him being a carpenter, which he is, and he's got his tool belt on. You know that, is it the commercial where the guy's selling cell phone channel and there's a helicopter behind him and an army of people? Okay, think of Jesus standing like this. And he's got an army of angels and resources behind him. And he's saying, I want to answer you speedily. Yeah, okay. And I'm bearing up long with you. You know what it means? Will you please ask me? He's got an army to answer us. And he's bearing up. He's waiting. And we're going, it's so terrible. Life's so hard. I don't know what to do. I'm panicking. I'm freaking out. Oh my gosh, all this trouble. My child, this and that. And Jesus is saying, Oh, right now, anytime now. Come on, you can do it. Just ask. Hey, church, you know the answer to this. We have not because we ask not. He's saying, come on and ask. Remember that old song? We said it last time. We'll say it again. That, oh, what needless, how's it go? Oh, what needless things we bear because we fail to take it to God in prayer. He wants us to cry out to him. And I don't know what the deal is with this. We'd rather pick up the phone and call somebody who can't do anything about it. But say, you know what? That really stinks. I'll pray for you. Psalm 3, verse 4 says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. Wow. King David knew something about troubles. Many of our youth today, as I mentioned last time, many of our youth today are in crisis. I tell you what, I had a birthday while I was away. I'm an old guy now. I love it. And there's things hurting I actually didn't know I had in my body. But listen, if you were to say, wouldn't you like to live your life over again? Are you kidding me? In fact, I'm saying, let's hurry it up, Lord. Huh? Let's get this thing over with. Either come back or let me blink and I'll be, you know, 99 or whatever my number is. Let's go. But I think about these young people, and maybe today you're sitting here saying, yeah, you know what, Jack, I'm up there in years. I don't really care what goes on. Well, wait a minute. Does your neighbors have kids? Do you have grandkids? You better care what's going on. You may have made it through this stuff and all that kind of stuff, but you know what? There's still people living and breathing around you. We got to stand for what's right. We got to take care of what's going on. It's a very important thing. Our youth are in a crisis. These are dangerous days. And here's the tragedy. Children today, young people today, teenagers, they need to hear God like never before, but they can't hear him. They haven't been taught. They haven't been trained how to hear God. You know why? Listen, they're never told to sit alone and sit quiet and be still. Just wait. Can you imagine taking a young person today and say, just sit 30 minutes without any phone, any radio, iPod, MP3, nothing. They would think, you know what? They would just, why don't you just kill me then? They would think, why don't you just, you can't do this. I'm going to sue you. And then the earphones, you know, the earphones in the head? I think they are now physically attached. The skin has grown over the wires. How can they hear God? They need God more than ever. Our young people need God more than ever, and they don't know how to hear him. And they think silence is a sin. God wants to speak. Three things I want to give you. It's very simple, but it's the way it is. What does God's voice sound like? I'm glad you asked. That's a great question to ask. What does God's voice sound like? Are you ready for this? His voice will be unusually familiar to you when he speaks to you. So what does that mean? He will sound like you when he speaks. And you will say, that's not an answer. That's a cheap Christian answer. Just wait, I'm not done. He will sound like you in your head, the tone of your voice. He will sound like you because you're the only one you'll listen to. But here's the cool part. When he says in your voice what he is saying, you will know it because you have never said such a thing like that in your mind, nor has it ever uttered out of your mouth such a thing. And you will know. What was that? That was awesome. That was pretty profound, heavy. Wow. God speaks to us like that. Unless, look, there are, I guess you could hear God audibly. I've never heard God audibly. I never heard, Jack, this is the Lord, turn left. I mean, I've never heard that. Maybe you have. I have not heard that, but that's awesome. But I've never heard that. I just know in my head, I will hear something, and it's not me. And that's cool because you know what? You can go do that thing or say that thing or stand on that thing with total confidence. It's amazing. The Bible says, listen, very quickly, 1 Kings 19, verses 11 to 13, it says Elijah went out. Listen, this is like us. It's awesome. Elijah went out and stood on the mountain before the Lord. Doesn't that sound awesome? You're saying, I want that to happen to me. I want that to happen. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. And you're going, yeah, baby, now we're talking. That's how I want God to talk to me. Keep reading. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came, listen to this. A still small voice spoke. And so it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that? Because don't you expect God to break open the mountain when he speaks and then speak it like, Jack, thou my servant, what hast thou done? I shall call thee to the ends of the earth, my son. He doesn't do that. All this stuff, and look at that, and this, and the other, and then a still small voice, and it says, what are you doing? Isn't that just like God? He speaks to us so we can understand him. It's so natural, supernatural, natural. And then also this, how will we know if it's him speaking? Frankly, it's profoundly simple. John 14, 25, these things Jesus said, I've spoken unto you while yet being present, but the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have spoken unto you. Answer, read your Bible and then listen to God speak. More Bible, you'll recognize his voice more. Not so much Bible, you're going to be a little bit confused. Don't read the Bible hardly at all, then you're going to be a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways, and you won't know which way's up or down, and it'll be a mess. Too many people live like that. You don't have to. And then what will be the proof? What will be the proof that it was God speaking? Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. I love that. God says, listen, when I send out an email, I get an answer back. A Gmail. And he says, it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in that thing which I have sent it. What God has said, his answer from the Bible, it will come to pass, and you can watch it happen. God's amazing. Secondly, your God is waiting to protect you, so watch for his deliverance. Jesus said in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. The word speedily today, we would use this collection of three words, in short order. You've ever heard that? Take care of that? Okay, I'll take care of it in short order. Going to be done now. Quickest thing possible. God is saying, I'll tell you what, I will avenge them in short order. That word is, I'm going to come to their defense. I'm going to answer them. And I'm going to do it very quickly. Now, we need to be very careful because as Christians, if we think God's not answering us, then we need to open up our eyes to reevaluate the situation because he has answered. In Matthew 6, 8, Jesus says, your Father knows these things that you have need of before you ask. You see how he wants us to come boldly and pray? You know, you and I live in a very limited plane because we want to see stuff. We live in a three-dimensional world. At least now our science, our technology is getting closer. It's not there, but our technology in the world is getting closer to biblical truth. It's starting to flirt around with fourth dimensional and other dimensional concepts. Immanuel Velikovsky, I don't endorse everything the guy wrote. He's dead and gone now. He's a scientist. Immanuel Velikovsky wrote a book, Worlds in Collision. Immanuel Velikovsky said, he's not a believer. He said, listen, it is theoretically possible that if we just alter molecular structure ever so slightly, we could have a train going through the living room of your house at the same time, and neither one would be aware of each other's existence. Science knows that. Well, you and I know that as Christians. The Bible says that when the Word of God goes out, as it is right now, and you've come together in an assembly to worship God, the Bible says angels peer, P-E-E-R, peer into the things that are being said and done in the service. Isn't that awesome? They lean in to learn and to listen from us, little dirt balls, pieces of dirt from Earth. Amazing. A world in collision, as it were. God is listening. And he says, I'm going to answer you quickly. And when you and I pray, just because you can't see it, don't think it's not coming. God is above it all. And he knows just the right moment to deliver just the right answer. The challenge for us is, will we receive it? A real practical way of looking at that is 1 Samuel 17:37. You know the story. David's a young guy, and he went to go see how his brothers are doing at war. By the way, not much has changed. David was going to go see how the Israelis were doing against the Philistines that were headquartered in Gaza. Sound familiar? And they had a big guy with them, uncircumcised guy, big, gnarly dude. They found archaeological discoveries of bedpost and armor, their beds. The beds of these guys were 14 feet long. And their armor, the breastplate, you can put two men inside one breastplate, 135-pound spears. How do you throw a 135-pound spear? Easy if you're 9 feet 6 inches tall.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It. It's a look at a section in Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 18. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we also want to let you in on what Pastor Jack and the church family are studying currently, 1 Corinthians. Now, to say that a study in 1 Corinthians is relevant is an understatement, especially if you know the issues that Paul had to deal with there. In fact, Pastor Jack would like to tell us more about this series that's now available on DVD. Pastor Jack?
Well, thanks, Mike. And what we're talking about here at church currently is 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we've just come through this study. And in fact, the three-part series is entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners. And by now, I've got everyone's attention when I put those words together. Saints, that's the believers. And the Bible talks about those who are at Corinth were believers. And then sex, Paul addresses in chapter 5 what was going on. There was sexual immorality among the believers. And then sinners, this is quite interesting. The sinners, the non-believers in the community of Corinth, began to rebuke the church for its ungodly conduct. That's a pretty sad day when the world has to correct the church. Well, we took this three-part series and looked closely into some of the ailments of the church and the current church today, and that is that in many churches and in ministries, there is sexual immorality. How to deal with it? What does the Bible say about it? How does the leadership exercise church discipline among its members that are practicing willfully sexual immorality? The Bible is very specific about this. And so this is a hard-hitting, direct, and yet I would say loving presentation, series of teachings that bring to light a topic, frankly, that people would either not want to bring up or not want to deal with. But we take it on, and it has generated a tremendous conversation here at church. Many copies of this little mini-series has gone out, and we thought that it would be great if the family at Real Radio would also be able to benefit from it. So it's been powerful, and I encourage you, as a part of our radio church together, that you might get your own copy and study this for your own learning, admonition in the Word of God. So you can find out more information. In fact, Mike, you can let the people know how they can obtain their own copy.
Of course. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.